Recovery Today on UKHealthRadio.com. Join me and my guests on this voyage of recovery and discovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Jim Smith, and welcome to Recovery Today. Well, this week's show, it gives me great pleasure to talk with and of an old friend. I haven't seen her, although we've spoken on the phone over the years. I haven't seen her for many years. She's a wonderful person. Her name is Tricia D. And Trish will say a little bit about Al-Anon, because, I mean, you go back, Trish, don't you, to Al-Anon's early days. And you'll say what Al-Anon is for our listeners.
I will.
Yeah.
I learned about Al-Anon from my very, very good friend, Dave. He'd just returned from New Zealand, where he'd had a terrible drinking career since his youth. Mm. And he recovered down there near Wellington.
Yeah.
And he decided, although he was about to be committed to mental asylum, he was that bad. He determined, because some AA members came in to do some 12-stepping in the hospital he was in, and he read the book of Alcoholics Anonymous that was written by Bill Wilson. Mm. And he said he saw himself on every line of that book. And so when he went before all the specialists, he said, I've determined to get sober and to get well and to go back to the UK.
And when was that, Trish?
That was 1930s, about 1934, something like that.
Was
I can't
it?
Say exactly the date, but he recovered from that moment. He started groups in Wellington and made many, many AA friends from whom he learned a lot of wisdom and how to stay sober.
Yeah.
And I met him, and there was no Al-Anon in this country that I knew of.
No.
If there was, it was very informal.
Mm.
So with the help of AA and with Dave telling me what Al-Anon was, so I'd better tell you what Al-Anon is.
Yes, tell our listeners what Al-Anon is.
Al-Anon is for the families of alcoholics.
Oh,
it's estimated that at least five people are suffering on account of a dear one's alcoholism. Mm. And many people think it's a simple business, if you're looking at it from the family point of view, just to stop drinking when it's doing harm physically, with illness, with harm in the family, with possible financial troubles, and a possible exit of the wife and children who can't stand the life anymore of uncertainty.
Yeah.
And so he told me that Al-Anon was going in New Zealand and was very successful. And he said, why don't you start a group here? And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with me. Why should I start Al-Anon?
Yeah.
He said, well, he said, maybe if you don't need Al-Anon, maybe Al-Anon needs you.
That's good.
So I got together with AA secretary at the time, whose name was Padge, and I asked if he'd be kind enough to advertise in the AA magazine for people who were related to alcoholics to get in touch if they knew of Al-Anon in this country, if their partners, husbands, or families members had recovered in US from the New York World Service Office for AA. And Al-Anon there was functioning in the States as well because of Lois.
Of course.
Who followed Bill's idea that the families remained sick as well as the alcoholic, even in sobriety.
Yes.
It's not an easy path to follow when you're new to it.
That's right.
And
that's
so that's what we did. We gathered together when I had found out that there were about 10 groups in this country. And they'd all found sobriety in AA through being in America at the time.
Sure.
And what a wonderful recovery. And Bill Wilson and Lois, between them, started their fellowships separate from each other.
Yes.
But in cooperation. And so
that's
was how it began for me And I found a dozen people, and we gathered together the members of each group that was there and started spreading the word about how Al-Anon Family Groups was not against AA, was not against alcoholism. But definitely
cooperating with,
cooperating with them.
So when are we talking about the 50s?
Yeah,
and you must have been a young, young lady.
1949.
Oh, I see. Yes, that was the year after I was born.
We had a meeting in the boys'. What was it? I can't remember now the name of it, but we met in Tottenham Court Road.
Oh yeah,
and
that's
where the responsibility for a growing way to start the structure of Al-Anon in this country. And people soon joined in because they could see the need for it.
Sure.
And that we mustn't be so down on alcoholism. We had to recognize it as an illness and not try to stop them, but try to live a better and clearer and more sensible life ourselves, looking after ourselves and also helping all the family not to have hatred or bitterness, but to encourage well-being.
That's right.
It's going well. It's not as well known as AA.
No, I have to say,
many people will tell you. And so we do spread the word through public information.
Yes, yes.
We do have a lot of groups now. I think in this country, there are many, many members now, but we don't advertise as freely. But there are, I think, about 80 groups, over 80 groups now throughout the UK and era.
So you're, if you like, a membership must, it must be a considerable long time that you've been attending your meetings.
Well, I did realise that there was a lot wrong with me because I was blaming everybody else for my unhappiness.
Yes.
But I hadn't been the perfect daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had the problem of alcoholism.
Yeah.
And she was a lovely, lovely woman, but she was desperately unhappy. But she read about AA in a magazine from that somehow got into the circulation here.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was willing to be sobered up, and she went into a nursing home because there weren't therapy departments, rehabs in those days.
No.
And she, when she was sobered up, somebody from AA came and talked to her. She decided to go along with it, and she was going to take the program one day at a time, staying sober.
Yes.
I was absolutely amazed. And so when I learned that that was helping her, I more readily took to the idea of the Al-Anon 12 steps, which had been horrified to think that we had to do alterations and live a better life and be more honest and so on and so forth.
That's right.
So when I took to the steps, I found my life got a lot better. I was much happier, and I was very pleased to be helping other people to jump on the bandwagon as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And that period is considerable. How long is it now, Pat?
Well, it must be nearly 60 years
now. Nearly 60 years.
Yeah. I just married this nice man I met from New Zealand.
Yes.
And I had a small baby, and I was busy working about Al-Anon, doing the paperwork, and other people coming along to help me. It became a real good movement very soon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, you, like all our other guests on this show, I've asked you to choose three pieces of music.
Right.
So I think it's time for our first choice, or your first choice. And this is I'll Be Seeing You.
I'll Be Seeing You.
Now, do you want to say a little bit about that song?
Well, it's very sentimental. And it kind of makes one think about how deep love is through pain and sadness and unhappiness. But I do think there's a lot of sentiment and love and strong feeling in and around alcoholism that is often so well put right when people join their respective fellowships.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's play it now. I'll Be Seeing You.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In the small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, and I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. I will find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing.
Well, that was Frank Sinatra with I'll Be Seeing You. The late, great Frank. Do you like Sinatra, do you,
yes,
Trish?
Yeah. I love Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Followed all his songs.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks for that. And let's see, because I met you, I don't know how long ago now, but it was quite a long time.
It was.
Whilst you
was
were...
Was it a convention or
a... Yes, I think it was at a convention, yeah. And you were... doing some writing, weren't you, for a recovery magazine?
Yeah.
You were reviewing rehabs, weren't you?
I was, yes.
Treatment centres.
And there was a lot of publicity about rehabs. I'm not sure how they're doing today, but I hope they're still doing good work, because many people really need some treatment.
Yes.
To get them into recovery. They don't seem to realise the importance of that first drink. And we have to let them get on with it in the families, because they must find their own way to recovery.
Yeah.
And when we take too strong a line, it only prolongs it worse, because they become more determined not to be bossed about by the little woman.
Yeah, that's very true, yes. Yeah. Actually, I've just ordered something because, you know, in our many conversations over the years, I know that you... You met Lois, didn't you? And
I did.
Did you meet Bill as well? Was he already?
I never met Bill, but I heard him when I went to New Zealand with my husband on the trip of a lifetime to see all his friends in AA.
Yeah.
And on the ship between the North and South Islands, they have a little quiet moment, and over on the tannoy it comes, "Will friends of Bill Wilson meet in the lounge, please?" Yeah. And I thought, what a lovely idea, when you wherever you are, you can hear the AA message.
Yeah, that's right. So where did you meet Lois? Was that in America, in New York?
I went to her home, because I was at the World Service Conference in 1975.
Right.
And it was a great honour to represent the UK and ERA for that.
Yeah.
And... I just really met so many wonderful people who were in Al-Anon all over the States.
Mm.
And many other countries came and joined as well and started their own structures.
Yes, yeah.
And it's just incredible how well it's grown, and it's still growing. Mm. There's plenty of information online if you look up Al-Anon.
Well, I on this show, actually, Trish, at the end of the show, I actually announced the numbers.
Good.
AA, NA, and Al-Anon.
Fine.
So, you know, people will get that information.
Yeah.
So how long were you in America, you know, as a delegate?
I just went for a short time because my son was quite young.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to be away from them too long. Right. So I think I was on a very short but very, very full time. And I loved it all, and I met just super people.
Yes. And what were your impressions of Lois? Was she?
She was so modest. She came and helped us with our conferences as well.
Mm.
She came twice to this country.
Yeah.
And she was modest.
Mm.
She was not a big shot.
No.
She was not forceful, but she had the most amazing way of putting the story about that we had to do work in Al-Anon if we wanted to have a family recovery.
Yeah. There's a very good film, I haven't seen it yet, but about Lois's story.
Yeah.
It's out recently or last
really? Couple. I haven't seen that.
No, I haven't. Actually, we get it one evening. Come over and we'll watch it.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, that's an amazing experience, and it must have been incredible in those days. It's 1975. I mean, I started my recovery in 1976, and there were 77 meetings in the whole of London. I mean, now there's about 850.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were quite thin on the ground. So, you know, you going over to America at that time must have been so inspirational.
It was.
Mm.
Yeah. I loved it. And the people are very warm. American people are very warm and friendly.
They are.
And we did all have just such a lovely time in the meetings and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
So writing, Trish, has always been a passion, hasn't it, for you? And you started quite young, I believe.
Mm. I did. I started composing poetry at school.
Yeah.
And I think I was stopped in the war because I was in the services.
Yeah.
And I did have a writing course from the London School of Journalism.
Mm.
But then I put it all on hold when I got married to my first husband.
Mm.
And I went into a different career altogether. But when I retired from that, I knew that I could go back into learning how to write properly.
Yeah.
And we were doing all sorts of writing, and I really liked the idea of journalistic writing.
Mm.
And so that's where my life went, and really that's when Jim and I met, because he was interested in writing as well, and we cooperated later on. He took over my job when I retired.
Mm.
And
yes, that's right.
And I was so pleased to see how he was able to go to different places than I went to.
Mm.
And so we kept it all alive. And some people do need therapy and to be in a rehab where they're somewhat protected from the craving and the instant demands of alcoholism in real life.
Yeah, that's right. So you had quite a few years you know, writing about treatment services. And yeah,
I did it for about nearly 20 years.
Mm.
And I loved it, and I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot. One is always learning.
Exactly.
I don't think we ever stop learning.
No, I love that concept. I mean, it's do you remember Father Joe Martin?
I've heard him speak a few times.
The alcoholic priest. One of his sayings was, "When I'm too old to learn, I am too old."
That's right. Very good.
And I think he was in his 90s when he said that.
Well, but it just shows you how long you can go on living when you keep well in health.
I tell you what, listeners, I'm sitting next to this young lady. I mean, you know, you... When's your birthday this year? When are you?
End of June.
End of June, you'll be what?
94.
Good heavens. And I've got issues with being 70, you know. Trish is very, very inspiring. And, yeah. But wasn't there some involvement with a television programme you had a few years ago? What was that? You had something to do with a TV programme. TV show.
Pebble Mill.
That's it, yeah.
Well, I was just spreading the word about Al-Anon.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But I didn't have to reveal my identity.
No.
And so I was under an assumed name for that.
Yeah.
And I understand the anonymity is really very important,
sure,
both for AA and for Al-Anon family groups.
Yes, yeah. But it must have been a good experience too.
It was very good.
Yeah.
And I had a lovely interviewer for that.
Mm.
And, of course, it was all on film, and it did a lot of good. Mm. I think, really, the publicity is needed for Al-Anon because many people know about AA, but
yes,
not everyone knows that there is help for the families too.
That's right. I know recently there's been quite a lot of work done with children of alcoholics.
Yes.
And there's been quite a lot of funding, I think, for that.
Very good, because that's a splendid idea, because children suffer terribly.
Yes, tremendously.
You know, families sometimes believe that the children don't suffer, but they understand at a very early age about unhappiness in the family.
Yeah.
And the way that things are not really comfortable for children in a family where there's sickness of alcoholism. Mm.
So anyway, you're doing all this, you know, you're carrying the message of Al-Anon, and your husband, David, he was obviously carrying the message.
Yes, sadly he died.
Yes.
Not of alcoholism. No. He never had a drink.
No.
For 44 years.
That's right.
But he fell ill with another illness, and sadly he had to leave me in 1998. But he told me to carry on, not to waste time in grief. Mm, he said, when one is left, one must keep on with life and do the best you can.
Yes, yeah. He sounds a wonderful man, Dave.
He was lovely. He was much loved by everybody in his funeral.
Mm.
Oh, so many people came.
Yes,
I bet. Testimonies were wonderful.
Yes. I was just talking to Trish and saying, you know, you've been alone, haven't you? You're on your own since Dave passed away since 1998.
Yes.
And I asked you, you know, how that's been, and gets difficult at times, can't it?
Yes, but he prepared me well.
Yeah.
He had a feeling that he would go first.
Yeah.
And he said, when one partner is left, the other mustn't waste too much time in grief.
Mm.
The important thing is to get on with life.
Yeah.
And continue the work that you've started in whatever field that may happen to be.
Yeah. Which you've done.
Yes, thank God.
You still go to your regular meetings?
I do go whenever I can.
When you can, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I still continue to write for the Al-Anon magazine. And I just enjoy meeting people. In the Al-Anon group, we meet socially as well as at the meetings, and we look after new members and try to encourage them to look after themselves, to eat properly, sleep properly, and look after the children and protect them as much as possible from hurt.
Yes. I always remember that early on in my recovery, there was a big meeting at Wallingham Park Hospital.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
What was the name of the doctor? Glatt.
Dr. Glatt, originally, it was.
Oh, we knew Dr. Glatt well.
Did you?
Yes.
Maybe you'd like to say a few things about Dr. Glatt.
Oh, he was a wonderful consultant.
He was.
Inspiring. He wrote a lot. He had meetings at Wallingham Park and where was it? In
Southall.
Southall.
That's right.
In the hospital.
Yes, he did.
I went to meetings there often with Dave.
Yeah. Ah. No, he was a great man and a pioneer in alcoholism.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, he was.
He started the graft, didn't he?
He did. He did. The famous graft. Yeah. Max Black graft.
All the up and down.
You still see it occasionally.
Yeah.
At a meeting or a treatment centre. But it occurred to me because I was coming back from, I think I was at Trelawne, the halfway house, when getting a lift back. And there were a couple of people I didn't really know we were giving a lift to, or the driver was. And one of them, she was a young woman, and we were just talking about the programme and recovery. And I said, which AA meetings do you go to? And she said, I don't go to AA. I'm a member of Al-Anon. And I thought, wow. You know, that really had a big impact on me. And then I realized that the program's the same.
Yes. The same 12 steps.
Same 12 steps.
And they're philosophical.
Exactly.
And I think the whole world could do with working those steps.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They're all about self-improvement.
They are.
And not trying to improve everybody else but oneself.
Exactly. No, that's right. That's so true. Yeah. 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 So, Trish, what's... We'll play the second piece of music in a minute, but just before we do, what's life like for you today? You know, what are you up to? There's always a project.
Well, I'm very busy. I've got many friends. I try to keep as active as I can. I have, over the years, developed quite a bad hearing problem.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I've got very, very good hearing aids that are attached to my telephone. And I found that it was a wonderful investment because I missed the song of birds. I missed a lot of really important points in conversations and at meetings.
Yes, yes.
And so I'm really very grateful for that. And I find that a lot of people don't speak clearly enough.
No.
And they don't realize how difficult it is. And I say, well, one of these days, you'll know what it's like to be deaf if you live long enough.
Yeah, well, I've got some empathy there because owing to a health condition that's still ongoing to an extent, I lost the whole of my hearing on the left-hand side. I have got a hearing aid, not as we speak now. It's not on, but I'm trying it. I'm keep trying it. I haven't got used to it totally yet. But yeah, it's a big thing, isn't it?
It is.
That's right.
Well, as we get older, we do lose a lot of our senses.
We do.
And we just have to make the best of what we've got.
Yeah.
And try and encourage other people to be active as possible.
That's right.
And to keep fully occupied. In the old days, old people were still part of the family.
Yes.
And now with independence going on longer, people aren't so relied upon to help bring up the children.
That's very true. Yeah. Culture's changed immensely over the years.
Well,
we're
losing a lot of our social skills with technology that's ever present in our lives.
That's very true. We play your second piece of music and then we talk about your ongoing project, or your latest project.
Yeah.
But your second choice is it's by Eddie Cantor and it's called Young and Beautiful. Would you like to introduce it?
Oh, I love this song because it was so cheerful and happy. And it reminded us that we have to make the best of our lives, young or old. And that when we're young, we don't have to waste our life chasing rainbows, that we should really just make good friends, do good, help others. And I just think that's a good philosophy.
Sounds wonderful. Well, look, here's the track, Eddie Cantor with Young and Beautiful.
Athletics, cosmetics, a weighing machine are part of the feminine daily routine for what? And oceans of lotions and potions you take to keep that old something or other awake, why not? The even after you grow old, baby, you don't have to be a cold baby. Keep young and beautiful, it's your duty to be beautiful. Keep young and beautiful, if you wanna be loved, da 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 da. Don't fail to do your stuff with a little powder and a puff. Keep young and beautiful, if you wanna be loved. If you're wise, exercise all the fat off. Take it off of here, off of there. When you're seen anywhere with your hat off, have a permanent wave in your hair. Take care of all those charms, and you'll always be in someone's arms. Keep young and beautiful, if you wanna be loved.
Be sure and get your man, wrap your body in a coat of tan. Keep young and beautiful, if you wanna be loved.
You'll always have your way, if he likes you in a negligee.
Keep young and beautiful, if you wanna be loved.
Oh, a slim little waist is a pleasure, and a trim little limb is divine.
Oh, a sly little eye is a treasure, it'll get him drunker than wine.
You'll drive him half insane, in a bathing suit of cellophane.
Keep young and beautiful, if you wanna be loved.
Each wrinkle in your skin, rub it out and rub a dimple in.
Keep young and beautiful, if you want to be loved.
In using or choosing a lipstick, use the kind that won't leave any mark.
Use the kind that'll make both his lipstick when he kisses you in the dark.
Get him to hold you tight, let him get a whiff of Christmas night. And keep young and beautiful, if you want to be loved. If it's not very hot in the steam room, then you've got to get hot in the cold. There is heat to the beat of the music, if they'll let their bodies unfold.
Shake well to slender rise, roll your eyes around for exercise.
Keep young and beautiful, if you want to be loved.
Keep young and beautiful, if you want to be loved.
Is thy sting? I don't care, cause I've seen everything. Keep young and beautiful.
Well, that was Eddie Cantor singing Young and Beautiful. And right, well, now I'd like to ask you, Trish, about your project, your writing, your life story. Is that right?
I am, yes. I've had a very, very interesting life.
Yeah.
And
my
memory is still good.
It is.
I can remember many of the details in my travels and my association with people from other countries and my work. And so it is a really joyful exercise to work and relate it. And I find when my memory is best, it's almost as if I've taken a mental camera with me.
Yeah.
Because I can see the people and the things that we did and the places we were.
That's wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been working on this?
About a year, and I just said to the journalist friend who's helping me, I said, I'm not sure whether I'll have time to continue working at it. I may not come to a conclusion. Do you think this could be turned into a third-party exercise? He said, I don't think that will be difficult at all. And he said, we'll bear it in mind, but if it's more personal, it would be better. So I said, well, I'll keep going as long as I can.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yes.
What are you now, about halfway through or
so? I'm about three-quarters way through.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that sounds remarkable.
You know, I feel lucky to have lived in times going through the Second World War.
Yes.
And also to know life as it was when we weren't so worried about stuff coming from overseas.
Yeah.
We produced more food ourselves by digging for victory.
Sure.
And making do with things as they were and not yearning after things we couldn't have.
Yes, yes. Because in the war, you spent a time at a very famous establishment, didn't you?
Yes. To do with decoding.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
That must have been quite an experience. Yeah.
Well, it was, but it was very secret.
Of course.
And we were told that we must never divulge any details of anything for the life.
Yeah.
We thought it would be a lifetime.
Yeah.
And it all came out in 1975.
Yes.
But I was uneasy. I would quite like to have remained secret forever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. What would you say, you know, some high spots of your life? Obviously, coming into Al-Anon.
I think the happy time I had in my childhood.
Mm.
I had very good parents.
Well, Trish, yeah. So, you know, you continue writing the book, which is wonderful. You have friends pop in?
Yes, I've lived here so long. About as long as I've been in Al-Anon, or just after, and I have many good friends. I love it here.
And I know that you do go to your local meetings when you can.
Yes.
And you still work a good program, don't you?
Well, I attempt to work it every day. It doesn't work by itself. I don't think one goes far in life without learning something all the time. You know, it's possible to make mistakes. I don't think it's very good to be cocky about anything or conceited, because then there's a good saying that pride goeth before a fall.
Yes.
And I do believe that is very, very true.
You were telling me when I arrived about your you call them wisdoms.
Yes.
And you little one-liners and sayings.
Yes.
And you write them down.
I do. I copy things I've heard at meetings.
Yes.
They're all anonymous, naturally, but they are wisdoms of other people. And things I've learnt from my mistakes. And I do continue to make mistakes. I try not to, but it's never... One will reach perfection, I'm afraid, in this life.
Yeah, of course.
And who wants to anyway?
Who wants to, yeah. Yeah.
I don't mind having lessons more to learn.
Well, Trish, we're coming towards the end of the interview. It's been delightful to see you again and to hear you. And I'm so glad you're doing this project. You're writing this autobiography. Yeah, it needs to be written. People... You know, because that's a lovely art, really, of storytelling, isn't it? And passing stories and wisdom down to another generation.
Yes.
And although technology can be very helpful in many directions, it can also kind of suppress that natural, as you said earlier, the natural social skills we have.
Yes.
You know.
In that book, I will also be respecting anonymity.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's needed.
Yeah. Which you have on this interview.
Yes.
You're using a different name, which is great. That's good to, you know, it's so good, so essential that we do this. So how do you see, you know, have you got any aims or goals or visions for the future?
No, I think like the song, I'm just living one day at a time, because I don't think one can count on anything particular, not like length of life.
No.
But I just love to leave a lot of love behind and a lot of happiness. And I'd like to say to people, try to be happy in life. It's such a waste to so go on suffering through untold circumstances. And I've had many, many people who've given me wonderful examples of how to do that.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the people that have given me a wonderful example, and you still do. So I'm so glad I came over here today.
Yes, thank you for coming. It's quite a way for you.
Well, going to any lengths, that's what you do. That's what I do.
Yes, indeed.
That's the kind of philosophy of the life we lead. Yeah. So let's play out with, well, a very well-known track, especially to people in recovery. Not so much now, this song.
It's getting forgotten, perhaps.
It kind of is, but it was very big when I came round.
Yes.
At various meetings, conventions, and do you want to introduce it?
It's that lovely song, One Day at a Time.
By Lena Martell. Trish, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, Jim. It's been a joy to see you again and to make this recording. And I hope it is of interest to people.
It will be. Thanks, Trish. One Day at a Time.
One day. Among men, well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Cheating and stealing, violence and crime. So for my sake, teach me to take one day.
Thank you for listening, everyone. and join me next time. Here's the number of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a fellowship for anyone who has a drinking problem. The number is 0800 917 7650. That's 0800 917 7650. The number of Narcotics Anonymous. This is a fellowship for anyone who has a drug problem. That's from 10 a.m. till midnight. The number is 0300 999 1212. 0300 999 1212. And finally, Al-Anon, which is a fellowship to support family and friends of the alcoholic. It's from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. The number is 0207 403 0888. That's 0207 403 0888.